Good morning.
Hey,
you want me to carry you to the couch so we can lay there instead?
You want some breakfast? You want to mow the yard?
Yeah, let's go.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Hey, besties. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
Jimothy is me.
And we are hosting the Phantom Family Podcast.
We are. We are putting weird emphases on weird syllables.
Sometimes we be doing that, though.
Sometimes we do that. We just talk like goobers for no reason other than our own enjoyment.
And if you are listening to this podcast, now I'm going to tell you a secret.
What's your secret?
You know the secret, but you don't know that I'm telling it. You do know the secret. You're going to know it as soon as I say it with this weird emphasis on certain syllables.
Okay.
All right. So if you've watched my TikToks for any sort of time.
I don't.
I rude. Sometimes I like to cook. A lot of times I like to cook on social media. And you might notice that I say a certain spice a certain way.
Oh, salt.
Yes, yeah, salt and basil and paprika. But basil's actually a totally different story. But paprika, that is actually because Jimothy and I have bonded over saying certain words incorrectly. It is a joke. It is an inside joke that we have now put on the internet. We also have a lot of tattoos. Not tattoos. They are tattoos.
We have many tattoos. What if you get you have a tattoo. Doesn't your tattoo say paprika or does it say do the thing?
It says do the thing.
Okay.
I do have a I have a waffle do the thing tattoo.
I can't keep up with them all.
Honestly. Paprika. But yeah. So now you know paprika started as a joke with Jimothy and I a lot of years ago, and neither of us had said it the way most folks say it in a very long time.
I always just say paprika to rhyme with Africa. That's how I've always said it. I don't know the origin of where paprika even comes from. Like, I don't know where they harvest it.
How are you trying to rhyme paprika and Africa?
I'm a burgeoning rap star and a poet, and you don't know it, but I rhyme a lot of words. I can rhyme the word orange.
Do you remember when our friend Renda on TikTok made a whole song for the song, like, Africa by Toto? And she totally remixed it.
I do.
And made it paprika.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. I love her. She made a whole song for me for the way I say paprika. It was incredible.
Kazoos and
but
sugars.
Honestly, just like say it how it's spelled. Because if you're saying paprika still, like just say paprika. Like right now, you're listening to this. And I want you to say out loud. I want you to say it right now. Just say paprika.
Paprika.
It feels better in your mouth. Honestly, just say it how it's spelled. Paprika.
Watter.
No, not, no, no.
Milo Yilo.
We're going too far now.
Moantane.
No, but just paprika.
I'm saying all of the words.
No, we're just going to say paprika.
Pehan Tom.
Anyway.
Toe Rye.
Moving on.
Audibletrial.com/phantom. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're sponsored by Audible, y'all.
Yeah, so definitely go to that website. Get your free trial, your free book. Listen to it. And, you know, it's a good time. Do that
It's
thing.
Free. If you go to audibletrial.com/phantom, you can get a free book. It's for new Audible subscribers. You can get a free trial for 30 days. It's $14.95 a month after that.
But you get a free book every time.
You get a free, well, I mean, you pay for it. You get a credit for one book every month. If you're a Prime member, you get 2 credits per month. And then you can keep those books forever, even if you cancel your subscription later on. So check that out. It helps us out. It helps you out. We don't really need to help Jeffrey Bezos out, but you know, hey, audibletrial.com/phantom.
Yeah, so do that thing.
Hey, Tori.
Yeah.
Who was your best friend growing up?
Is that a trick question?
No, I'll even make it easier. Who was your first best friend growing up?
Does high school count?
If you're that much of a late bloomer, sure. I remember my first best friend. It started my very first day of kindergarten. It was the spring of 1990. We went for half days for half a year.
The late 1900s.
We don't have to refer to it that way.
That's what the youth calls it.
Blank them kids, first off. This is not for the youth. This is for me. And okay. It was spring of 1990, and I walked in. I was in the cafeteria. We were just finishing up lunch. We were lined up against the wall, and I asked this girl, who went on to just be a very horrible part of my entire school career and is still kind of a very bad person in general. And I asked her, I said, do you want to be friends? And she said, no.
Sounds like she weeded herself out of that.
She's still a very bad person to this day.
Oh, goodness.
Loose morals and character and whatever. I won't shame her. Her own court records would do that for me. So anyway, I moved on to the next person in line. And I said to him, I said, hey, do you want to be friends? And he said, yeah. So then we put our arms around each other and we walked side by side down the hall
back to
our kindergarten class, like in each other's arms, just walking because we were best friends immediately right then.
That's so sweet. Wait, hang on. I remember my first best friend.
Okay.
I remember my first best friend. It was in kindergarten. And
I've heard this story.
It was this human, it was like centers in kindergarten. Did you do centers?
Centers?
Okay, you didn't. That's fine. It was just like, you know, there was different activities at different stations. And so like every moments you would move between
stations.
Okay, so we called them centers. So
Do you remember cubbies?
Yes. Yeah, our kids have had cubbies back in the day when they went to in-person school.
Why can't we as adults have cubbies?
I will install cubbies tomorrow, Jimothy.
Please do it. I need cubbies. I don't want to call them cabinets or storage compartments.
No, they're cubbies.
They got to be called cubbies.
So I remember this first best friend.
Okay.
I looked at them from behind, and they had this long, curly hair. And kindergarten me was like, that must be a girl. And I was wrong, and that's okay, because this person became my best friend. But I think the reason I forgot about it until we started this was because that person became my bully like a couple years later and bullied me throughout all of high school. And then like I became a whole grown up, and on my 21st birthday, I like went out on the town, you know, as 21-year-olds sometimes do. And I went to this bar, and this person was there, and I like panicked because this person was so horrible to me in high school. And he like walked up to me and he's like, you're good. And I'm like, I don't need you to tell me I'm good, bro. Like, you're just a jerk. Like, it's still like, oh my goodness. I was so glad to be out of school. Like, for you, you had like a million best friends. I did not.
I wouldn't say I had a million best friends. I would say,
popular.
No. I was not one of the popular kids, but I wasn't one of like the loser nerd kids. I was one of, I could
nerds
get along with
cool.
either or. Well, now, looking
there,
back.
There is. Back in our time, I mean your time and then my time, things were different. And,
yeah, there were like the nerds who would like play. And again, I'm not disparaging anyone because we play Dungeons and Dragons every Monday.
We do play Dungeons and Dragons
but
now.
But there is a social construct in
that
your high schools.
There was. There's a different social construct that we could not begin to understand nowadays.
Yeah, but if some kid's sitting in the library right now playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic the Gathering, is he going to be considered, or she, or they, are they going to be considered one of the cool kids?
I don't know. I don't know
right
how
now.
It is now.
I'm going to text my buddy my cousin who just graduated. I'm going to ask him if that would be considered cool, or if he'd be like, yo, no cap, that's lame. Or
okay,
something.
But your cousin is like.
He's
I have to give him a hard time.
He's the reason you're Tory Phantom.
The reason I'm Tory Phantom. I like Jim's cousin. I do. But every time I think about it, I have to give him a hard time, even when he is not here to listen to me, just like he does for me.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely not going to listen to this.
No, he's not.
He is an 18-year-old boy. He has no interest.
Yeah, that's the whole Tory Phantom thing that just came from a teenager bullying me. It's been my whole life.
Yes. Anyway, I got along with all the sides of it. The people I didn't get along with were the people who rode my bus, actually. The people who lived near me, they were the biggest jerks. It was and I want to attribute it to the fact that we lived in a poorer area. So some of the kids there had more attention spent on the next can of dip that they were going to get rather than whether they were going to pass algebra class or not. And do what you do. I don't know where they are now, but I know where I am. That's all I can say. But you know who I wouldn't have considered a friend growing up is probably my parents. Did you consider your parents a friend, best friend, or other?
Is that a real question, Jimothy?
I'm just saying. It's guiding us into the topic.
My parents were my enemies.
Enemies. As in adversaries.
Yes, very much so. They were so much not my friend. They were so unrelatable and awful that I didn't just not like them. I very much detested them. And it took a whole lot of personal growth and change to be able to live with the fact that, yeah, like, those are my parents and I have to love them for who they are, how I can.
Unconditionally.
Nope. There is a lot of conditions. And I think that's a thing that I would like to say right now. A child's love for a parent tends to be unconditional as a child. And unfortunately, a lot of parents have conditions for their child, for their love. And I think that it sucks because it should be the opposite, but kids are so wholesome and their normal is the only normal they'll ever know as children. And so they look to their parents as their protectors and the people guiding them. And so the love children have for their parents oftentimes is unconditional because it's their normal. And parents be out here like, oh, you love the same sex as you? I don't love you anymore. Like, stop it. Stop it.
That's like
a parent's love should be unconditional. A child's love should be conditional.
It's like my mother's husband effectively disowned his daughter, you know, because she turned 18 and started dating a black guy. And that was it. He completely, like, disowned her and, like,
that is
wouldn't even speak her name.
So
again.
Disgusting and heartbreaking.
Honestly, she was better off because, again,
I believe that.
I've never had a stepdad or a stepfather. My mom's been married twice, though. She's currently married now, but I've never really considered myself as having a stepdad because I feel like a stepdad actually treats you like a person sometimes.
Right, like, as a, you know, stepdad.
Yeah,
you love our kid.
Like, he did that. I'm like, what are you doing, stepdad? Like, why are you saying that?
It's disgusting. It's despicable behavior to have these conditions, especially like these conditions for love rooted in racism and homophobia.
Oh, it was.
And whatever other condition some parents have for the love that they have for their child, like, your child didn't choose to be here. You chose to have your child. And I just don't understand it, because as someone who didn't choose to be here and who has had a really hard life, like, what I would give for some unconditional love.
Just and friendship, like, when you need it, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, I think, is that when we're talking about friendship with our kids, like, you can absolutely be friends with your kids. Now, it's not going to be the same kind of friendship you'd have with your peers.
No.
Like, my friends would probably expect me to trauma dump at them.
Let me just throw this scenario your way. You're in a group chat with all your friends, right?
Yeah.
What if you were in a group chat with yourself and the girls, our daughters, and you made a splinter group chat minus, like, Beanie Baby, and you guys are like, oh, my goodness, Beanie Baby just wants to watch Hocus Pocus every day.
She do be
what
wanting
a
to
toddler.
Watch Hocus Pocus every day.
And then, see, you might do that about your friend. Well, you don't do it. You get pulled into those group chats. But the fact is that is what people do. People do that. When imagine doing that with your kids, being like, hey, squirrely girl, she's acting kind of squirrely lately.
She do, like, be squirrely.
Like, can we discuss?
No, but that's not the kind of friendship that we have here.
No,
there's no
not
toxicity.
That guy.
There's no toxicity.
I am on Messenger with Squirrely Girl, and it is hilarious because she sends me videos all day long saying, like, I love you, Dad. Just want to say I love you. And it's like,
She sends me stuff all the time that is just the most ridiculous, like, off-the-cuff stuff. Anything she is currently thinking about in that moment, she's like, Mom, I need you to know that I'm talking about this right now. I just watched this video. You're going to love it. Or, Mom, you said screen time is over. And I wanted to let you know that my timer did go off. So
my alarm went off and the screen time is done. Just letting you know. Okay. Love you so much. Bye-bye.
Yes. But so that's the thing. If I were in a group chat with my kids, I think that's a fun thing to think about. Like,
for a moment and then think about the reality
all,
of it.
All consider what a group chat with our kids would look like. Because I know for a fact, like, my kids, they come to me with everything like a friend would. However, there are boundaries. I think when we're talking about being friends with our kids, there has to be boundaries because My kids are not my peers. I am not going to trauma dump at them like I would a friend. I am not going to talk about all of the interworkings of my brain and the things I'm struggling with my kids, because I don't want my kids to ever feel obligated to fix things for me. Those are not their problems. I am here for their problems. But by being their friend, they trust me to come to me with their problems. And I think that's really the takeaway. If we're friends with our kids, there's trust in friendship, isn't there?
I've got some friends I probably wouldn't trust.
But are they really true friends, though? I mean, I want you to consider the difference between an acquaintance and a friend.
Well, I don't really trust many people.
Timothy.
I'm not a big trusty guy. if you put your trust in somebody, then you have
the
possibility
thing.
Of getting let down. And I just don't. I'm not about
thing.
That life.
That's what we're talking about, is friendship versus acquaintance. And I have plenty of acquaintances and not as many friends. And I think that's okay, because there's so many people I really enjoy talking to. But am I friends with them on a deeper level? And I can say I am friends with my children on a deeper level. And I think that's important. Like, to me, as a parent, being friends with my kids is an important part of parenting. And it's not just in them coming to me when they are struggling with something. It's them coming to me like, I just watched this video and I really want to talk to you about it. I just read this book and you need to hear about it. It's the sharing of interest. It's the sharing of joy. It's the comfort in coming to me with their problems. There's never a hesitation. Like, if my kids have a problem, I'm going to know about it immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they're going to tell me. I made a video, I think, last week. I don't think that you watched it, because you don't watch my TikTok.
I very rarely open TikTok. I open it to clear the notifications.
But there was this moment where Pumpkin Pie, she came to me not long ago and she said, Mom, I have a problem from when I started school with my teacher. Now that was very surprising to me. As you know, like, the kids go to school on the internet and it's virtual. So I'm like, how could I possibly miss this? I am always present in your Google Meets. So I'm like, well, what's going on? And she said, well, I like to be called Pumpkin Pie at school, and my teacher's calling me Pie, and it makes me kind of uncomfortable. And I was so proud of her for owning that, like, because that's like, you know, that's a big deal to her. And she was like, Mom, I need to talk to you about this, like, right now, because it was a big enough deal to her that she felt she needed to talk to me about it immediately. And I mean, not immediately, because it took her a few weeks, but either way, like, it was bothering her. It was bothering her. And she said, I need to talk about this. And because I never minimize her feelings, like, I'm here for her, like, we're besties. She told me that. And I realized, like, I messed up. It was me. I was the problem.
How are you the problem? Explain.
Well, you see, when she started school, I had to fill out the forms for her. And so I wrote down her full name, Pumpkin Pie. And then there was a note there.
I forget who they are half the time.
But you know where this is going,
right?
Can we
just say right now that say their please state their fake internet names right now?
Pumpkin Pie is 9 years old. Squirrely Girl is 5 years old. Beanie Baby is 3 years old.
These are not the names on their birth certificates.
They are not the names on their birth certificates.
A lot of people are very confused.
They're very concerned that those are really what we named our kids.
We are not Coldplay. We're not Gwyneth Paltrow. These are not their real
names.
They're
not their real names. We
their
do...
real names are old lady names, yes,
possibly.
But...
we're not going to give any info.
No.
But like, that is the thing that we do to protect our kids' identity, because they are not old enough to consent to the amount of people who might know who they are or hear the story. So
my name's not even Jimothy. I'm going to break the fourth wall right now.
I broke that in my video the other day too, but you don't know that. Anyway, so.
You can't. I didn't consent to you exposing
I didn't tell them
me.
What your name was. I just said it wasn't Jimothy.
Hey, side note. Let's take a step over here. That was mine to say. You shouldn't have told people. That was
I'm
mine
sorry.
To say.
I'm honestly sorry.
All right. That's fine. Okay. We'll discuss it later. We have a podcast.
We do. We have a podcast.
All right. And we're back. So,
Pumpkin Pie
not just a pie.
She was upset because she said, well, my teacher's calling me Pie. And I actually, at school, I like to be called Pumpkin Pie. I said, oh. I said, well, that's my fault. And she said, what? And I said, well, I had to fill out these forms. And I said that your nickname was Pie, like a shortening of your name. And I didn't know that you weren't comfortable with that. And she said, honestly, she said, I'm really only comfortable with the people in our house, like our family using that name for me. At school, I like my full name. And I said, I am so sorry. I said, I only know you in our house. So I had no way of knowing that. But I should have asked.
You're like, I'm sorry. Because
that's the truth. In my perspective, that's who she's always been to me. She's just been Pi because that's what I've called her whole life. Like, I haven't gone to school with her. So when she started school at home, I was like, well, this is what I call her. So this is her name because she likes it. Well, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And she was like, Mom, like, I don't like this. And so I held myself accountable. I told her, like, I'm the reason this happened, and I'm sorry that it happened. Let me correct it. That's my responsibility. You don't worry about it. And I contacted her teacher, and her teacher was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I will make a note of that immediately because, I feel like most teachers care. And so we had to correct this. And it was just because I had made an assumption. But because we're friends, like, my daughter was like, I need to tell you that this is bothering me right now. And it's the same thing, whether it's something bothering her or something that brings her joy. She's like, Mom, I need to tell you this right now. I need to tell you.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say this, too, about the youngest daughter, Beanie Baby. It's funny because her real name, and then she has a real name that's on the birth certificate, and then she has the nickname that we call her.
And she doesn't believe her real name is her
real name. Her real name, she doesn't believe it because she's only ever mostly been called the other name. So if I call her anything else, then I'll say, hey, Stinky. And she goes, I'm not Stinky, me Beanie. And it's funny because it's like, that's not your name.
She is very assertive about what her name is. I love it.
She has an identity. And you know what? If you ask her who her friends are, she'll say it's us.
She will.
And I think that's cool.
The thing is that I do think that there are boundaries that you have to set when you are friends with your kids. And not setting boundaries with your kids, but setting boundaries for yourself with your friendship with the kids.
Yeah, obviously, yes.
Because I think that's a big thing. Because if you treat your kid like a peer, you are going to traumatize them. Kids don't need to know about adult issues.
Oh, that's true. They probably don't need to know about, like, IBS flare-ups and stuff. And
but, like, think about it, like, this way, bunions. Right? Because, like, when I was growing up, I feel like, in a way, my mom treated me like her friend, even though she wasn't mine, right? Because my mom, to me, was, like, an enemy. Like, I couldn't trust her. I couldn't be myself around her. It was very traumatic. But at the same time, my mom would treat me like her friend and was constantly just telling me about her issues, like her issues with my dad. Like, she'd put me in the middle of their relationship. It was like anything going on in her life. She's like, you need to know about all this drama in my life. And I did not need to know. And it was very traumatic, especially like with her relationship issues with my dad. Like, That was not good for me. I did not need to be her friend for that. That was not appropriate. And so, like, when I say I'm friends with my kids, I am friends, like, with my kids for my kids. I don't expect anything out of that friendship with my kids other than, hey, I get to be close to these amazing humans.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a typical friendship, there's a reciprocation, right? Like, my best friends now, I can talk to them about anything. They can talk to me about anything. Like, if I'm struggling, they're there for me. If they're struggling, I'm there for them. That is a reciprocal type of friendship, whereas the friendship I have with my kids is very much more of a supportive friendship. I am not going to go to my kids about my issues. The only time I might mention something is if it is relevant to the conversation, if it is in a way of empathy. If my kid is struggling with something and they're like, I'm having a hard time with this, I'm gonna say, I know how you're feeling because I experienced XYZ. And then I'm gonna use that to empathize and bring it right back to them because my job as their parent is to support them and help them and help them grow as people. So It is a friendship, but the reality is I am still their parent. I'm not trying to be like besties with my kids. Like, I'm thankful that I get to be so close to my kids. But at the same time, like, I want them to have friends that are their age. I want them to be friends with their peers because, like, it's weird. Like, they don't need to be friends with someone like so much older than them. Like, I like that we're friends. And I really hope that sticks through their adulthood and they still want to be friends with me later on. But There has to be boundaries.
And I do like playing Among Us with them.
Yes.
That is fun times.
We love playing games with the kids. And Among Us is the most fun because, so we have two iPads in our house, and Jimothy and I, we both have phones. And so we will all sit in the same room and we have to try to keep it secret. But our 3-year-old, so our 5-year-old and our 9-year-old can play Among Us, but a 5-year-old, she can't read. So if she like reports or whatever, like she doesn't know how to type to defend herself. So we try to help her. But the fun part about this is that 4 out of 5 of us will be actively on a screen like playing. But the 3-year-old, oh, she is like the sus master, because she will go around screen peeking and she will rat. If you are the imposter, she will rat you out to someone else. Like if she sees on my screen, oh, mommy's the imposter. Let me go tell Sissy. Mom is sus.
Mom's
and
she's sus.
Hearing a 3-year-old say sus is just the cutest thing ever. But she'll like help us with our tasks and stuff. So like we have a way to like have this family fun time where we're just hanging out with our friends. But I feel like that is so important to have that friend time where it's not parenting moments. Like I teach my kids so many lessons throughout the day about being good people, about schoolwork, education, whatever the case may be. But I'm also spending time with them as friends.
See, I didn't get that growing up. Like, looking back, thinking about how it was, I didn't feel like any authority figure in my life was my friend. Like, I felt like they really didn't even like me unless it was maybe, you know, my birthday or Christmas where they were giving me presents. That was about the only time I felt any sort of, oh, hey, we do like you. That was about it. Other than that, I was either largely ignored or yelled at for doing something that was
that a kid would do.
Exactly. Doing something childish.
And I had that a very similar experience, but definitely worse. And not that it's a competition,
it's
but
not
like
a competition.
We, you know, we have talked about this on previous episodes, but it's like, you know, I feel like you were more on the neglect side and I was more on the abuse side, and both suck. There's no comparison. Both suck. And we're not in the business of comparing trauma, because if you start comparing suffering, then everyone loses.
That's true. I mean, I got my fair share of whoopings.
Right.
But again, it's not a competition.
I don't want to have won. Because I never had that quality time to feel connected and having fun with my parents. When I was going through stuff, when I was older, I didn't feel comfortable going to them. Like, there were many situations where I was in trouble and I felt alone, even though, like, I did live in a house. My parents didn't divorce until, like, the second I graduated high school. Like, they didn't wait. They were like, we've been waiting for this for 10 years. Like, you finally graduated. We're done with each other. And it's like, besties, you should have divorced 10 years ago. That probably would have been better for me. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand that concept. That's
No.
Just...
Don't stay together for the kids if that makes the kids' life hard. but so that was kind of a thing is... Because I didn't trust my parents, we didn't have any sort of rapport, there was no friendship, there was no trust. When I was in trouble, I went through that alone because I felt like, well, I'm just going to get in trouble if I come to them with my trouble. So I'm going to keep it to myself and try to handle it myself. And teenagers should not be left to their own devices to handle their struggles themselves. Like, they need support.
Yeah.
They need it. And so I have so much fun with my kids because I don't want to make it seem like I'm friends with my kids because it's a chore. I'm friends with my kids because they are the coolest people I know.
Wow, I'm right here.
I said what I said.
I know.
Like, our 9-year-old, like, she is so stinking smart. Like, she writes her own fanfic for Warrior Cats. She's really into this game Piggy on Roblox right now. And we made an agreement. Like, she read some of the book Matilda by Roald Dahl tonight. And I have to watch these Secrets of Piggy tomorrow with her on YouTube. And, like, we talked about it. Like, we made an agreement because she didn't want to read Matilda. I don't want to watch the Piggy video. But we're like, let's both do it because both of us are being kind of close-minded right now. So, like, let's make this agreement. And we both have to look at something the other one likes. And that's such like an open-minded way.
But you see, here's the problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin Pie is the winner because not only does she get to indulge in more Roblox Piggy stuff.
Yeah.
But she also gets to read an awesome book in Matilda.
Oh, of course.
She's the only winner
of
here.
Of course.
Really,
like, I'm
you know
taking
what?
The L on that.
This is a trick. This is a good parenting trick. Make it look like she's winning, but really you're winning because
I'm winning
you're
exposing
because
I
her
want
brain.
Her to read more because she's very much into Warrior Cats, and I love that. I love that for her. But I don't want her to be so
pigeonholed
into one thing that she doesn't get to experience so many other great things. And so that's kind of how I consider myself the friend in my parent-child relationship, is that I'm not the friend who is relying on my kids to be my friend. I'm the friend who's like, hey, look at all this cool stuff we can do that you don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be so much fun. Like, our five-year-old, like, she's so into music. Like, she hears a song on the background of a YouTube video and she's like, hey, mom,
put this on my playlist.
She told me she wants to learn to play the violin. So, like, I'm looking into that. You know, our three-year-old, like, she's just a little snuggle bug at this point. But she's interested. She's like, let's watch Hocus Pocus. Let's watch Halloween stuff. Like, let's do all of these things. And so, honestly, like, as an adult, do I always want to do the things the kids want to do? No.
Hardly ever.
I wouldn't say hardly ever, but, like, you know, there's some things I love to do with the kids. I love to play video games with them. Honestly, I like Roblox, some of the games. Not Piggy. I'm so bad at Piggy.
What is the concept of Piggy? You know what? It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, we'll talk about it later because Pumpkin Pie wants you to play with her so badly because, honestly, it is more of not an adult game, but it's a more mature game than some of the games on Roblox.
I liked Harry Larry.
Yeah, it's kind of in the same realm as Harry Larry. Which is Break-In. If you somehow are listening to this and like Roblox, it's Break-In.
Which was The Purge.
Yeah. But so it's kind of in that. It's like a thriller game. It's fun. But I'm really bad at it, so I don't like to play it. But so that's...
You know
that's,
what I should do?
What?
I should secretly play it and get really good at it.
You should, because she told me when she's like, Mom, you got to play Piggy with me, but you're going to die immediately because you're going to be bad at it.
I'm going to do
this. And I was like, there's no way. And then you know what happened?
You died immediately.
I died immediately. I was so bad at it.
I'm going to download Roblox and I'm going to get secretly really good at this and I'm going to blow her freaking mind.
But I mean, Piggy's not a bad game. It's just, it's not for me. And so like, do I always want to do the kid things? No, but I do them because it helps me connect with my kids. And the more I connect with my kids, the better I know them. And the better I know them, the better I can help them and the better I can parent them.
Hang on a second. Did you just technically say, don't hate the game, hate the player?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. But that's honestly the thing, though, with the kids is that, like, the better I know them, the better I can understand how their mind works, the better I can help them. Because, like, as I've said many times, I don't parent the girls the same way. That would be unfair to them. They're different people. They process things differently. They experience the world differently. And so by being their friend and bonding with them over the things that they like, I know them better and I can help them better.
Yeah.
And I can navigate situations that are difficult with them better because I know that Pumpkin Pie is going to need different guidance than Squirrely Girl when one of them is throwing an age-appropriate fit. And because I feel like it's really unfair to like 8 to 10 year olds when people are like, oh, how old are you? You're acting like a baby. No, they're acting like an 8 to 10 year old. Those are still young children. Those are young children, and they're allowed to throw fits because they're still learning to process emotions.
Can I, who doesn't process emotions very well, can I ask what would be an age-appropriate fit for myself? Like, when I'm playing Rocket League and I get very frustrated.
You have to stop cussing at the cars. Like, it's okay to be mad, but
I'm not cussing at the cars.
We have to stop yelling cuss words.
It's not at the cars. It's at the trash players on my team.
And I understand, but our kids are listening to you cuss out these people who can't hear you. So, like...
Well, that's only because I don't have my mic
on. I do like to parent Jim sometimes if he's throwing a fit at playing Rocket League. I'm like, I know you're frustrated. I know it's hard, but if we can't control our feelings about the game, we have to take a break from the game. We're going to have to take a break.
No, I don't want to.
But the second that I do that, that's what's fun, is that like the way that we parent is that if Jimothy is throwing a fit about Rocket League and I come down and I'm like, if we can't handle this, like it's just funny. And he's like, all right, like I'll get a hold of myself. But that's the thing I think that every parent needs to remember is it's like it's difficult and it's frustrating and it's so hard when our kids are throwing fits, but just never forget that as an adult, as a parent, you also throw fits.
I be throwing
fits. No one is excluded from that. I do it too because you know why? Do you know why, Jim?
Because we do it too.
Because we all have feelings. And sometimes our feelings are bigger than us. And we all throw fits. Adults throw fits. Kids throw fits. And so as an adult, my goal is to, when I do throw a fit, when I'm having a big emotional moment, my goal is to not traumatize my kids because of it. So if I'm having a big emotional moment, I will excuse myself and have my fit on my own and not take it out on my kids.
To be fair, I'm not taking anything out on the kids.
Oh, no, of course. I wasn't saying you were with Rocket League. Yeah. I was just saying, like, just in general. Yeah. Like, it's a good thing to remember that as an adult, if you're having a big emotional moment where you kind of blow up about something, like, you were throwing the same tantrum your kid is over the applesauce pouch.
Well, it's funny, though, because I'll be playing, and then, you know, I'll have teammates that either score a goal on our own goal or something, and I'll be like, are you kidding me? And then inevitably, one of them will be like, "What, Dad? I didn't do it. What's going on?" It's like, no, but I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, you can just ignore
but
me.
But it's the same kind of fits. Like every adult, every child, like we all are going to have big emotional moments. Now the goal is that by the time we're adults, we're better at managing. And
well,
not
if my team were better
feelings.
At managing not getting scored on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's hard, but I mean, like everyone has those moments, and so like I just feel like by being friends with my kids. That it is a better beneficial to all of us because we're more connected.
Yeah, and they still respect like that we are the authority figures here, like that
right.
We are the parents. They do have rules they have to follow.
Absolutely. That's earlier tonight before we started recording. My daughter. So we do timers a lot in our house. It's so incredibly helpful because kids are not good at telling time. They are especially not good at being able to sense time. Like I can probably tell about what 10 minutes is without having to look at a clock, whereas kids, no, they can't. So we tell them to set timers, whatever. And so it was about bedtime, and I told my 9-year-old, I said, hey, why? I said, you have 30 minutes to read, but you need to get off the iPad. And she came out to me and she goes, Mom, well, can I finish? Because she was watching some Piggy Games fact. And she said, well, can I finish this fact? I said, yeah, go ahead and finish the video. And she stopped me. She said, Mom, she goes, no, the video is an hour long. It's 50 facts, so I don't need to finish the whole video. I was just wondering if I could finish the fact. And I said, well, absolutely, you can. And I was so impressed with that honesty because, like, the truth is, if I said, well, you can finish the video, she could have been like, okay.
You said I could.
You said I could. And she could have been on that for an hour. But we talk about integrity in our house all the time. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Be honest because it's the right thing to do. And so when I said, hey, you can finish the video, she was like, no, you don't actually want me to finish the video. It's a really long video. I just want to finish this one fact. I'll come back to it tomorrow. And I was so impressed. Like, she's just such a good human. Like, they all are. But, like, there's a difference between, like, talking about a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old, right? Because they're a different mental
One is 6 years older than the other. The other is 6 years younger than the other. It's crazy.
But, like, my 3-year-old, she's a good kid. But, like, this specific story, it's like my 9-year-old is so, like, no, Mom, you don't want me to do that. Like, I see you're being nice to me, but I want you to know that that's not what you actually want for me, and I'm not going to do that. And that's because we are so close. And I told her, I took the moment to tell her, like, thank you for being honest with me. I very much appreciate that because that's what we do in our house. We celebrate the good behavior and we do our best to correct the bad behavior without traumatizing.
That's right. And even though we are friends with the kids, I am not going to resist a chance to oof them. In Among Us, if I'm the imposter, you're getting got.
Honestly, I won't in Among Us. I'm like, they're the last ones. Like, I'm going to be the imposter. I'm going to take out everyone else, but I can't do it.
No. See, I like to take out Pumpkin Pie first thing because she is so sassy.
She do be
she's
sassy.
Just like,
she's so funny. She gets so mad. I love it. But but when I was a kid, I would always hear from my parents, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. And my kids here, I'm your parent and I'm your friend, and I'm trying to help you. And if you don't understand why I'm asking you to do this, please ask questions because I want you to understand why I'm asking this of you. It's a different level. It's having a relationship with your kid on a different level, and I highly recommend being friends with your kids. Be your kid's friend, but don't expect them to be your friend. Have fun together. But, like, don't trauma dump to your 9-year-old, you know?
Maybe don't take him out on the lake and, like, drink beer and stuff like that. Like, not that kind of friend.
Yeah. No, but, no. It's be your kid's friend. I am my kid's friend and their parent. And they are my favorite people. But it's not the same reciprocated friendship I'd expect from a peer. And I think that's the important thing. You can be your kid's friend and their parent, But there has to be boundaries and expectations, and you have to figure out what that means for you. But yeah.
Don't be friends with your boss at work, though.
You were my boss at work, and we got married.
You see what happened? Do you see what happened?
Yeah, look at all the cute kids we have.
Yeah.
That was a great choice.
And now imagine somebody doesn't like their boss, and they become friends, and the same thing happens.
Hey, be friends with your kids. Do it. Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Get to know them, because I promise you they're going to be the best people you ever knew. You just gotta be bored sometimes, because sometimes their interests are boring. But like the way that they're excited about their boring interests is so worth it. Like I don't care about Piggy, but the way my 9-year-old's face lights up when she talks about Piggy, it's beautiful.
You know,
I don't care about Piggy, but I care about how much she loves Piggy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I bet you have some fans out there who follow you because their kids followed you. And then the parents are like, oh, no, yeah, this Tory Phantom, that's pretty okay. All right, I like this one. It could be that.
It could be.
Could be. Honestly, there's probably more just, you have a lot of teens follow you.
Yeah.
You're like.
I have a lot of friends.
You're like a very good mom on TikTok.
I have so many great friends.
It's very
all
nice
of them.
Of you.
If you follow me on TikTok, I want you to know I very much appreciate you and I love you and we are besties.
Where can they find you on TikTok, Tory Phantom?
Oh, it's at Tory Phantom. And that's also on Instagram, Tory.Phantom. But on Twitter, it's just Tory Phantom.
That's
and
right.
On Facebook, it's Tory Phantom. I'm a phantom.
I'm on TikTok. I'm at Jim Beard. None of my other social medias are remotely interesting, so who cares about those? even my TikTok's not interesting, but...
Yeah, just find me on TikTok. Look at my link tree. There's lots of cool stuff there.
That's where I post
all my cool stuff.
All my most interesting moves are on your TikToks.
Yeah, so. And if you watch my live streams on TikTok, you have heard my cool playlist that is now on my link tree too. So please check out my link tree. That's where I update all my cool stuff that we're doing. But we love you.
We do love you, and we are going to put this thing down to bed.
Because we love you.
Yes. All right. Good night now.
Good night.
Tucking you in.
Sweet dreams.
Got your stuffies.
Oh, do you have some water?
You have water. No, we're not going to make a marshmallow sandwich.
Need to open a new one.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go now. All right. I love you.
Your music
I'll see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night. I love you.